You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 16, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. Let me give a happy birthday shout to Corey Hare in Allendale, South Carolina. He is my brother. Happy birthday, Brother Corey. Boy, did you make Mama and Daddy happy. And I love you and God bless you. Now, everybody is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we are on the air. We have the live SoundCloud taping, so please be on time. And then guess what? We have prayer school. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Bible is our instruction book. So we pray according to the Bible for America, and then it is your party. I invite everybody to come up one at a time, individually, personally, and I pray for you. I ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for me with groanings which can't be uttered, that I pray according to Father's will for you. And guess what? He does. Every time. He never lets me down. He often operates in the many of the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is every Wednesday, 6 p.m. That's your party. Don't miss your party. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we've learned that the book of Hebrews is God's message to his church. Jesus is the head, and we, the many-membered body of Christ, are the church. Of course, it's also for anyone else, but basically to the church. Hebrews chapter 6, the Lord really tells us that once we get saved, we're a baby Christian, even if you're very old when you get saved, but he commands you to grow. And the first thing you to do is to be baptized in water, because that says, I've changed my mind. I've changed from the devil, and I'm coming to Jesus. And then you're to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to live the Christian life. He is with you, and he teaches you and instructs you and shows you how to get rid of the devil when he comes to attack you. And then he said you're to yield yourself so the Holy Spirit can operate in those gifts. You must yield yourself. And then last time he said that everybody who is a Christian is called to till the soil. You are to sow the word of God to everybody you meet. Everybody you meet is your mission field. And now, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, you have two great things that will never change. You have two great things that will never change. Verse 16. I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18 before I comment.
For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us.
Immutable means unchanging. They can never change. Now, God had told Abraham, I am making you a promise, and I can swear by no name greater than myself. So God says, by my name, Abraham, even though Sarah's 90 and you're 99, almost 100, you're past childbearing age, you're going to have a son, Isaac. And from umbilical cord to umbilical cord, finally, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, my only son, is going to come through your lineage. Now, the two promises that helped Abraham believe was the name of God, because God is not a man that he should lie. And the second immutable thing was what God said. Now, you, Christian, all over the world, every one of you, you have two immutable things that will never change. No matter what your situation is, we're all over the world now. I'm sure some of you feel very hopeless. No. There is nothing that is too hopeless for you. Amen. Because you have two things. It is the name of Jesus, and it is the word of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Any time that you're in trouble, do like Jesus did. He didn't have to say his name. He is Jesus. But we say, in the name of Jesus, it is written. And say the word of God. If you're sick, in Jesus' name, say the healing word. If it's money, if it's a relationship, if it's fear, if it's worry, if it's too much aggravation, you have the name of Jesus and you have the word of God, so are definitely not hopeless. You have hope.
Amen.
Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul.
You're not going to float away. You're solid.
Both. Sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
We can now go behind the veil in the Holy of Holies, into Father's throne. How? In the name of Jesus and the Word of God. You use Jesus' name, you pray in his name, and you pray the Word of God back to him about your situation.
Verse 20, wherein the forerunner for us hath entered. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Melchizedek and how America can become debt-free, and how every nation can become debt-free. And how you can become debt-free. Melchizedek and how America can be debt-free.
Verse 1. For this Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. Melchi means king. Zedek. Zedek in the Hebrew. Just. This is king of the just. When you got saved, you were justified. That's the righteous. Who is your king? Jesus, okay. Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate Jesus, King of the Just.
King of Salem.
King of Salem. That would be Shalom. Jesus is Shalom, peace. Who is the King of Peace? Jesus. All right. Melchizedek is Jesus, pre-incarnate. King of Shalom, peace. King of Peace, Jesus.
Priest of the Most High God.
Who is your high priest that ever lives to make intercession for you sitting at the right hand of God? Who?
Jesus.
Okay. Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate Jesus, but of course later on he took a body. But Melchizedek was before Jesus took a body. What did he do?
Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him.
In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham had a nephew named Lot. Abraham loved Lot like his own son. Lot went over there and lived in Sodom. Everybody, get away from Sodom. And boy, the heathen kings captured Lot. He had a lot of money. They took his money, and they captured him. Well, Abraham loved him like a son. And Abraham went after Lot, and he rescued Lot, And he took all the spoils of those kings. He got the loot. He got the gold. He got the diamonds. He got the jewels. He got the herbs. He got the cattle. Boy, was he wealthy. On the way back, Genesis 14, an amazing being met Abraham. It was Melchizedek, King of the Just, pre-incarnate Jesus. And Abraham bowed down and worshiped him. And Melchizedek, the pre-incarnate Jesus, the Lord, blessed Abraham. Abraham had many encounters with God one-on-one. He would never have worshiped a man. He knew it was the Lord. So he worshiped Melchizedek, a pre-incarnate Jesus, before Jesus came in the flesh.
Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all.
Now, as I was preparing this, I was hoping that the Holy Spirit would let me pass this and go on, but he stopped me. The reason I was hoping he would let me go on, I don't like to talk about money. I've never passed a basket, never will, but people are supposed to give. I trust God, and people who know give, and people who don't know don't give, and everybody's happy. But there's too much begging in the church anyway. However, Holy Spirit showed me that he sees everybody in the world right now. He sees that everybody's a little bit concerned about their money. And God loves you. And he's going to tell you that he loves you. And he'll take care of you. He knows about inflation. He knows about the price of gasoline. Lord, have mercy. He knows about everything being moved way up there. So, who was Abraham? Abraham, Genesis 15, is called the father of nations. Nations means ethnos, all the races, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. God said it's very good. Well, how can one man with one's color of skin be the father of all nations? It's very simple. It's spiritual. It was through his seed, Isaac, right on down through Mary, came the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody who is saved by Jesus can say that Abraham is your father. Okay. Why? What is the tithe? Genesis 14 says one-tenth of all Abraham he gave to Melchizedek. He took one-tenth of all of that and he gave it to Melchizedek. Genesis 14 says that is a tithe. A tithe is one-tenth of every dollar that comes into your hand. Birthday money, Christmas gift money, Social Security money, every cent. The tithe. Abraham paid his tithe to Melchizedek because Melchizedek is the Lord. Why did Abraham pay his tithe to the Lord? Because Jesus is the living word. And the living word was standing before Abraham. Abraham is called the friend of God. He was so close to him. When you're that close to the word gets inside of you. And while the law, Malachi 3, was not yet written, the word is written in heaven. So Abraham knew that it said in Malachi 3, God says, will a man rob God? You say, no, wherein have we robbed you, God? God says, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Why? Because the tithe is the Lord's. And if you don't tithe, you're robbing God's money. So that's why Abraham did that. He loved the Lord and would not rob him. Are we still supposed to tithe in the New Testament? Yes. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Jesus is dressing down the phony church leaders, the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, yes, they tithe because they had to. They were the leaders. It was in the law, and people were watching them. But they did not do it with love. God loves a cheerful giver. So Jesus said to them in Matthew 23, yes, Utah, Anise Cumin, and Mitt, that was their money, but you are missing the heavier matters of the law. Judgment, to do the right thing. Mercy, to have mercy on the people. And love, God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus said, these ought you to do, but do not leave the other undone. The other is a tithe. Do not leave the tithe undone. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. I did not come to change one jot or one tittle above the law. A jot and a tittle, little squiggles, are put above the original manuscript to tell you how to pronounce that. The only thing Jesus changed from the Old Testament was the blood sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to sacrifice the blood of an animal every time we sin. What a mess. Jesus, once and for all, Hebrews 9 and 10, paid the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God who pays the sins of the world. So we're still supposed to tithe. Why does God command you to tithe? It's not a maybe. It's not a suggestion. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Here's why. Because God loves you. And he wants to get something to you. God has laws in the Bible, and they cannot be broken. There is the law of lift, L-I-F-T. Any pilot listening to me will know that's what gets that 747 up in the air. Wow. God has the law of gravity. Thank goodness we'd all be floating away. Max and Joey's balloons will be all over the world. Hallelujah. Look at that. But God has a law of reciprocity. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God cause men to give into your bosom. God's law is that you have to give to get. See, most people say, if you'll give me, I will give you something. No, you have to give to get. It is God's plan. It is God's plan. God obeyed this. We were all like sheep going astray. We'd sinned. We were far away from our Father. God wanted us to come home, but he had to give. God gave the tithe. He gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him to die for our sins, to shed his blood, to pay our sin debt. He gave, and now look, he's got all of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is your blessing when you tithe? Malachi chapter 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. That's the meat of the word, the deep word. God says, prove me, test me, and see. I will open you the windows of heaven. I will pour you out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, the one that's messing you up, the devil. Your vine shall not cast the fruit before the time in the field. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land. All nations love Abraham. Because the United States of America came from the seed of Abraham, the migrations of the people, Manasseh there in Great Britain, founded America. Our forefathers sent our children to school to study the Bible, and everybody tithed. And that's why America has been blessed. So we have been a delightsome land. But what happens if you rob God and do not tithe? Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yes, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings, and you are under a curse. Whew. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, first of all, it lists blessings. And then there's a whole list of curses. And one of those verses says one of the great curses is your economy will suffer. The economy will suffer. Now, everybody in the world right now is kind of thinking about money. If you got a lot of money, You see what's happening here, inflation, and you're afraid you're going to lose it. And if you're in America, Joe Biden just said the solution to inflation is to raise your taxes. Lord have mercy. That is a little bit stupid, dull and sottish. Good Lord have mercy. That's not the way you do it. Okay. If you've got a business that's very good, it's worry to you because everything's going up. And if you don't have much money, money bothers you. So, here is how America can become debt-free. With what Joe Biden's doing, we're almost up to $30 trillion in debt, United States of America. We're in debt to our enemies. And Lord have mercy, the debtor is servant, the borrower is servant to the lender. Have mercy. Well, how in the world can America get out of $30 trillion debt? All of the nations, I know who you are. I pray for you every day. How can your nation get out of debt? And every one of you individually, how can you get out of debt? Okay, America. First of all, we have 50 states in America. I'm calling that the governor of every state in America, all 50 governors, you want your state out of debt. Here's what you do, governors. On the first day of the week, every week, count all the revenue that comes into your state. Take 1/10 of that and give it where the word of God in Jesus' name is taught. Now, Shakespeare would say, there's the rub. Nope, you want your state debt free. It must be Christian and it must be where the word of God is taught. If you want your state debt free, get some people to pray about it and the Holy Spirit will show you where. You might do it 1 week here and 1 week there, but it must be Christian because Jesus is the head of the church. But what happens there, governors, all 50 states of America, that stops the curse. Now, inflation stops. Communist, socialist, Marxism stops. Drug traffickers stop. Pedophiles stop. And there's no more shortage of baby formula. The curse stops. The tithe stops the curse. But it doesn't yet bring the money. So now what do you do? Step number two, all 50 governors of all 50 states, United States of America, and everywhere else. What you do then, you add to the tithe an offering amount of money. Because it is the offering added to the tithe that causes money to come back to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God gives seed to the sower. He sees you're tithing, and he sees you're going to make a little offering there beyond the tithe, and he gives bread for your food. First of all, he starts supplying your needs, all 50 states, and then he multiplies your seed sown. The offering is what multiplies. How much does he multiply it? Paul in Corinthians, 30-fold. 60-fold, 100-fold. The tithe stops the curse, but the offering brings the revenue back in. But we're not finished with America. Now, all 50 governors, all 50 states, we the people, our money, we have to send all of this to Washington, D.C., the federal government there. All right, God give us a Christian president. This would get us out of debt in a very short period of time. Oh, that America would be what we started out to be. One nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord, obeying the Bible. Amen. So, Mr. President, here's what you do. Take all of the revenue on the first day of the week, every week, we call it Sunday, that comes in from we the people, the taxpayers, all 50 states. Take 1/10 of that, the tithe, and you, Washington, D.C., give that to a Christian place where the word of God is taught, where Jesus is the head and the Bible is taught. Again, Shakespeare will say, there's the rub. Nope, we're not talking about that you can, any other religion has to be Christian. This is God's Bible. This is Jesus. He's the head. Pray about it and God will show you how to do it. Now that will break the curse off of America. Now those borders are going to start being closed. Those illegal immigrants with drug traffickers coming in, living off our money will go back out there. COVID will go back. Disease will go back. Plagues will go back. I will have plenty of baby formula. And the inflation starts coming down. And we start having peace and order. And all nations begin to call us blessed. And once again, we become a great nation. The superpower of superpowers. But we're still $30 trillion in debt. So what do? Washington, D.C. You take on the first day of the week some additional money, add it to the tithe. It's called an offering. Remember Malachi 3. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Add an offering. And that is where the money starts coming back into America. He gives seed to the sower, gives bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown 30, 60, 100. That's how you do it, America. That's how you do it, nations all over the world. I love you. I know who you are. And that's how you, Christian, do it. Now, I do this, and I am free of debt. Most of you heard my story. God told me to start a school for His glory. My purpose was not money. I had $45. That's all it took then to get a license. It takes much more now. Well, for the first 12 years, only a very few people paid me. Most people did not. They thought I was a government lady, and I love them. And so whatever I got, I paid a tithe, and I gave a vow. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. I gave an offering. And then I was driven out of my school 3 times, terrorized by drug gangs, worse than those poor chief justices have. I mean, it was horrible. They drove me out the streets. I had to start all over. It was a mission. Each time, 3 times, and I got in debt. But I stayed with it. You see, perseverance wins. Tithe, vow, offering. Guess what? I am free of debt. All my needs are met. I have plenty more to put in God's store. Have you noticed I'm one of the few media that never say send money? That doesn't mean I don't need it, but I don't beg you. I do what God says about money and I always have enough, and I give a lot. Praise God. Same thing for you. Church, it is time. You've made up your mind. If you're a Christian, when are you going to do the Bible? When are you going to stop picking and choosing? You want to be sanctified. You want to be blessed. Obey the Bible. Obedience brings blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. First, being by interpretation, King of Righteousness.
Melchizedek was called the King of Righteousness. He was Jesus, a pre-incarnate Jesus, before Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness.
And after that, also, King of Salem.
Shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, whole, complete. That's Jesus.
Which is King of Peace.
King of Peace, Melchizedek. You have two great things that will never change, that will make you realize you are not hopeless, no matter how bad it is. And Melchizedek, if you will do what he said, will get America out of debt, all nations out of debt, and you out of debt. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. That was
awesome word. Yeah. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. What is Scott's stuff?
We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
Absolutely. Great, Scott. He loved us enough to pay the tithe of his own son to us. Hallelujah. 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 Before I pray for healing, let's get everybody saved who's lost. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it. And God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Save me. Give me eternal life with Jesus in heaven.
Give me eternal life with Jesus in heaven.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. Sanctify me through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And use me. To win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, for those of you all over the world in cyberspace, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, Scott, my twin friend announcer, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number and tell me your confession there. You'll get my voicemail. I'll get it very soon. And when I get it, I will pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You also are invited to email me. Here's my email. Sherry, Shari, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, @gmail.com. That's Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, @gmail.com. Guess what the G is for? God. Okay. I thought you'd guess that. Let me pray for those of you who are sick all over the world, any kind of sickness. Precious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are Yahweh Rapha, you are the Lord who heals. You sent your word and heal them and deliver them from their destruction. You restore health. You heal their wounds. You bring it health and cure. With your stripes they are healed. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue flow into the body, into the shoulders be healed, into the stomachs be healed, in the pancreas, in the liver, lungs, heart be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. Heart beat perfectly with the rhythm of God in Jesus' mighty name. Fibromyalgia be gone. Muscle sclerosis be gone. Crippling diseases be gone. Joint pains be gone. Headaches be gone. Deafness be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. From the top of your head, the soles of your feet, and be healed. Pick up your bed and walk. Activate your faith. I call you healed in the name and the power of Jesus. To God be the glory. And we all say all over the world, I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend and the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend, always and forever, is the Lord and Savior Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. No greater loveth this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He's your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His left hand's under your head. His right hand doth embrace you. Love him. Obey him. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
Hey,
the
this
trumpet
is Daryl Evans.
Of truth.
Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's modern worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Just as I am. Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
This cornerstone, this solid ground,
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
It is the truth that sets you free, not what you believe to be true.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's no guesswork involved in finding the key to God's saving power.
The idea is to know the truth, because that's the only thing he's going to use to free us up.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When our day-to-day troubles turn into a stronghold from which we can't escape, we don't just have a problem, we're in bondage. Well, today, Dr. Evans explores where we can find the power to be released from our spiritual captivity. Let's join him.
A stronghold is an addiction that has a spiritual component attached to it. That is, something spiritual has grabbed hold of something that is legitimate or was legitimate and made it illegitimate. And so it's a stronghold. It's something that you can't buckle, because there is a spiritual component, and that means that all your human efforts can't really get you free, because the spiritual component has not been either understood or addressed. You need a power to set you free, to set us free from whatever it is. It can be an addiction of drugs. It can be an addiction of alcohol. It can be an addiction of profanity, not being able to control what you say. It can be an addiction of pornography. It can be an addiction of anger. It can be an addiction of gambling. It can be an addiction of relational dysphoria. It can be an addiction of identity. You pick the stronghold, the addiction that has been wrapped in this spiritual vice grip, like a snake that's wrapped around your thinking, so that no matter how many promises you make, how many New Year's resolutions you make, it just won't let you go. And what many people do, including Christians, to try to address this is they decorate their cells. They're in jail. They have concluded, I'm never going to get out of this, so at least let me decorate my cell so I look good being an addict. So we dress it up with church. We dress it up with piety. We dress it up with Bible study. We got a good-looking cell, but we're still in jail. Others seek to manage their slavery. They want to manage it. They can't get victory over it, so they manage it. It's like my trash masher. You put trash in it, you push a button, and all it does is push it down and make more room for more trash. You're trying to manage it, just if I can just hold it hostage for a while so it doesn't just break out. Jesus recognized that there is the need. Even when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he had to tell some folk, loose him and let him go. He still needed to be free. Still needed to be released. And even if that's not you, you know somebody who's in that situation, who has something tattooed on their souls that they can't get rid of, that they want to shake, that they need release and relief from. We find ourselves often in spiritual quicksand, where the harder we try to get out, the deeper we sink, and the need to be free. Amen. Jesus gives us the clue, the secret, if you will, the guidance that we need in John chapter 8, when he says in verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen. It's like he's saying, If you get this thing called the truth, it'll force you to freedom. It's going to make you free. So if I could say it another way, if you don't have the truth, you may have to settle for being a slave. The first thing he says is that truth exists. We've talked about that already. There is such thing as truth, an absolute standard by which reality is measured. The truth that exists is knowable. You shall know the truth. So this truth that Jesus is speaking of that sets people free is not hidden information. You shall know the truth. And the way you know that you really know it